Chapter 5 Sasquatch. I happened to be visiting the bathroom when the bear showed up. It was 4 a.m. Only the McCracken's room had its own bathroom. We had to share one with Karina, Pete, and Ray. The Krautheimers had provided bathrobes for all the guests, so I pulled one on over my pajamas and headed down the hall. Like the rest of the house, the bathroom had a somewhat eerie dead animal theme. The handles for the taps and the towel racks were made from pieces of antler, and there was even a deer head mounted over the toilet to give guests the unsettling experience of having a dead animal stare at you while you peed. I had just washed my hands when I heard a very odd noise. It sounded like someone strangling a duck. I went to see what it was. I walked into the living room, which was 100 times creepier in the dark than it had been with the lights on. The various disembodied animal heads on the walls stared vacantly from the shadows, while a stuffed bear loomed ominously by the fireplace. It took me a few moments to pinpoint the source of the duck-strangling noise. It was J.J. McCracken, snoring on the couch. He was swaddled in a buffalo hide blanket so that even his head was covered. In the dark, he looked like an enormous woolly caterpillar. I was about to return to my room when I heard a different noise in the living room, a soft snuffling from near the fireplace. I looked back across the room toward the stuffed bear. It was only now that my sleepy brain realized something very important. The Krautheimers didn't own a stuffed bear. Plus, this one was moving. Up close, Sasquatch was staggeringly big. With his shaggy coat, he appeared to be the size of a hippopotamus. His head alone, framed by a mane of fur, was as wide and round as a manhole cover. I was so close that I could smell him. He had the musky, grassy odor of a freshly mowed lawn. Behind him, the front door was wide open. The snuffling noise I had heard was Sasquatch sniffing the air. He shifted his head toward me and then froze. He had smelled me. Bears don't have very good vision, but they possess what may be the best noses in the animal kingdom. Some scientists estimate that they can smell 7 times better than a bloodhound, or around 2,000 times better than a human. Even though bear brains are smaller than ours, the olfactory lobe is 5 times larger. If a human can detect a scent from 5 feet away, a bear can detect it from a mile. I had been given plenty of advice about how to behave if I ran into a bear in the wild, but I wasn't sure how much of it applied to encountering a bear in the living room. The main rule is that you shouldn't run, because that will provoke the bear's instinctual attack response. But in the woods, there are no bedrooms that you can lock yourself into, so it seemed that maybe running back to my room was a good plan. Only, I didn't want to abandon JJ, and it seemed that I should alert everyone else to the bear's presence as well. I screamed at the top of my lungs, "There's a bear in the house!" JJ snapped awake, completely disoriented and tangled up in his bison blanket. "What?" he cried. "Where?" There were immediately many other noises in the house as well. Shouts of surprise, or annoyance at having been woken, as well as the thumping of feet on the floor and the creaks of doors being opened. Everyone was doing exactly the opposite of what they should have been doing. They were all coming toward the bear. But as I would later learn, everyone was thinking that there couldn't possibly be a bear in the house. Most of them assumed that I had run into a much smaller animal, like a raccoon or an opossum, and completely overreacted. The only exception was Pete Thwacker, who simply didn't know how to behave around a bear. He appeared in the doorway to his room, wearing pajamas that looked like they had actually been ironed. My parents and Karina also came to the doors to their rooms. The other downstairs guests hadn't awakened. Candace had taken a sleeping pill. Summer was wearing earplugs because she had thought her father might return to the room, and she knew how loud he snored. And it turned out Ray could sleep through anything. Meanwhile, upstairs, the entire Krautheimer family gathered at the railing that looked down into the living room. Someone flipped the lights on, and everyone discovered that I hadn't been overreacting at all. There was really a bear in the house, and a massive one at that. Almost everyone screamed in shock, fear, or surprise. There was also a lot of shrieking, gasping, and gibbering. Sasquatch, startled by the noise, the influx of people, and the sudden brightness, reared up on his hind legs and roared. Outdoors, a grisly roar is startlingly loud. Inside, it was as ear-splitting as a bomb detonating. It made the walls tremble. And if that wasn't scary enough, every one of Sasquatch's teeth was on display. His lips curled back, revealing fangs that were over 3 inches long, while long strands of drool dangled from his jowls. On his hind legs, Sasquatch was over 8 feet tall. His massive head clunked into the elkhorn chandelier, which swung away and then pendulumed back into his face, cracking him right in the nose. Sasquatch stumbled backward, pinwheeling his massive forelegs, and accidentally swatted the mounted head of a 12-point buck with such force that it sailed across the room and embedded itself, antlers first, in the far wall. Then Sasquatch fell backward onto his bottom, landing on the coffee table so hard that he flattened it like a pile driver. Now everyone raced back into their rooms. JJ and I fled from the living room and down the hall. JJ still had the bison blanket wrapped tightly around him, so he looked somewhat like a giant burrito. He tried to enter his room, but the door was locked from the inside, so he pounded on it desperately. "Candace!" he yelled. "It's me!"
"JJ?"
Candace asked groggily from inside.
"It's the middle of the night."
"Open the door!" JJ yelled.
"Not until you apologize,"
Candace yelled back, apparently unaware there was a grizzly in the house. In the living room, Sasquatch swatted a couch aside like it was made of tissue paper and started coming our way. JJ realized he didn't have time to explain what was going on to Candace. He ducked across the hall into my room with my family, and we slammed the door behind him. The only lock on our door was a simple slide latch mounted to the frame. It was enough to stop a person from entering, but I doubted it could hold back a grizzly. We all grabbed whatever was close at hand to defend ourselves. Dad took an elkhorn lamp. I found a wooden duck decoy. Mom got 2 cans of aerosol hairspray. JJ grabbed a shoe, although in his haste he dropped his blanket, revealing that he only slept in his boxer shorts. Outside the door, we could now hear Sasquatch moving down the hallway. For a big animal, he was surprisingly quiet. There was no sound as his huge paws struck, save for the floor creaking beneath his massive weight, and his fur brushed lightly against the walls on both sides as he squeezed through the narrow passageway. The grizzly stopped directly outside our door. We could hear him snuffling again on the opposite side. We all backed away from the door, holding our makeshift weapons at the ready. JJ stumbled over the blanket that was bunched around his legs and toppled over onto his back. Sasquatch made a huffing noise. The floor creaked again like the bear had just shifted his weight. Then there was a thump from across the hall, followed by the sound of wood splintering. I heard a loud bang and then screaming. It was Candace and Summer.
"No!"
JJ exclaimed, terrified for his family. He sprang back to his feet and, without even bothering to wrap himself up again, undid the latch and flung open the door to our room. Across the hall, Sasquatch had knocked the McCracken's bedroom door off its hinges, tearing it right out of the frame, and barged into the room. JJ raced over to protect his family, which was insanely stupid, given that he was almost naked and only armed with a shoe. But I couldn't really fault him for stupidity, because before I knew it, I was running across the hall to help protect Summer, too. My parents were right on my heels, although I'm not sure if they were trying to protect the McCrackens or me. The McCrackens' room was significantly larger than ours, with a long table in the center, walls lined with bookshelves, and a separate nook for the king-size bed. Since there was more room, there was also more taxidermy. A small herd of sheepheads gazed blankly from the wall, while an entire mounted pronghorn stood by the bathroom door. Summer had hung her bath towel on its horns. Candace was sitting in her bed, screaming her head off, while Summer stood on her sofa bed, wrapped in a bathrobe. Their room had a vintage bow and arrow mounted on the wall as decoration. Summer tore it down and scrambled to load it. Meanwhile, Sasquatch didn't seem to have any interest in the McCrackens at all. Instead, he was hungrily devouring the remains of Candace's dessert, which had sat, forgotten, on the center table. The bear was licking the plate with great fervor, trying to hoover up every last molecule of crumble and whipped cream. In his frenzy to protect his family, JJ didn't quite comprehend this. Or maybe he figured the crumble was just an appetizer before Sasquatch ate his loved ones. So he raced in and flung Dad's shoe at the bear. "Get away from my family!" he yelled. The shoe bounced harmlessly off of Sasquatch's head. The bear didn't even seem to notice. Sasquatch was licking the dessert plate so feverishly that he was shoving it across the table with his tongue. He placed a great meaty paw on the table to hold the plate still. One end of the table promptly collapsed, catapulting everything that had been stored on it, mostly Candace's jewelry and makeup, across the room onto the bed. The plate slid to the floor and shattered. Sasquatch realized there was no more dessert. He lifted his head back up and began sniffing the air again hungrily. To Summer, it appeared that he was sniffing her hungrily. Summer loved animals, but not to the point where she was going to let herself get eaten by one. She pulled back the bowstring and fired the arrow. Unfortunately, the bow was old and warped, and Summer had only taken one archery class in her life. So even though Sasquatch was the size of a small car and Summer was firing from close range, she missed the bear completely and hit her father instead. The arrow struck JJ right in his bare shoulder, and he howled in pain. Candace screamed again. Summer gasped, "Sorry, Daddy." Through the wall, I could hear Pete Thwacker shouting in the next room. It sounded as though he had called 911.
"There's a bear inside the house. Send the police, or the fire department, or the park service, or whoever you need to." "No, I don't know what type of bear it is. It's not a panda or a koala. It's a brown one."
From upstairs came the sounds of more footsteps. The Krautheimers were running about frantically. Then I heard them coming down the stairs. Despite all the chaos around him, Sasquatch remained calm, continuing to sniff the air. It was strange, but I had the sense that the bear was being thoughtful about it, like there was a puzzle he was trying to solve. He slowly moved his head back and forth, his enormous nostrils flaring. He was directly between Summer and the door, although Candace could get to us. "Summer," Dad said, "don't make any sudden movements, but see if you can get out the window. Candace, come to us, slowly." The McCrackens nodded agreement. Summer unlatched the window, while Candace edged out of bed. JJ plucked the arrow from his shoulder and waved for Candace to join him.
"Where's the bear?" Sidney Krautheimer yelled from the living room.
"In our room," JJ yelled back.
"Well, get out of there," Sidney exclaimed. "We're setting out some meat to lure Sasquatch back through the house,
and we're armed to the teeth in case anything goes wrong.
We're working on getting out, JJ replied. It's not so easy.
Summer propped the window open and quickly slipped outside into the night. Candace scurried from the bed to the doorway, but one of the sheets snagged around her ankle and she tumbled to the floor, letting out a cry of pain. Sasquatch abruptly turned toward her. Even though he hadn't shown much interest in attacking any of us, he was highly attuned to the sound of a wounded animal. Candace screamed. Sasquatch took a step toward her. Mom quickly jumped into the bear's path, depressed the plunger on her aerosol hairspray, and struck a lit match in front of it. The aerosol instantly ignited, creating a homemade flamethrower. Sasquatch froze, warily eyeing the jet of fire.
Nice going, Charlene, JJ crowed. That's the idea.
Another can of hairspray lay on the floor, one of Candace's that had been on the table. JJ grabbed it, struck another match, and lit his own miniature flamethrower. Sasquatch obviously didn't like the fire. He backed away.
Ha! JJ cried. Not so tough now, are you?
He took a step forward, trying to create more room for Candace to get out the door. Unfortunately, in his overzealousness, JJ got too close to the stuffed pronghorn with his flamethrower. The bath towel that was hanging on its horns ignited, and suddenly there was a fire blazing in the room.
Uh-oh,
JJ said. Sasquatch really didn't like this, and he didn't seem to like being boxed into the room either. He shifted from side to side, huffing in distress.
Everyone move, Dad warned. He's coming our way.
We all raced out the door and across the hallway into our room, except for Candace, who wasn't close enough. Instead, she leaped back into her bed and hid beneath the covers. Sasquatch barreled out into the hallway, running from the fire. It was like a truck was moving through the house. The floor shook, and the walls rattled as he thundered toward the living room. A grizzly can run 35 miles an hour, which is startlingly fast for such a large animal. In his fear, Sasquatch appeared as if he might have been attempting to break that record. He tore through the house as fast as he could go, leaving destruction in his wake. The Krautheimers had laid a trail of meat down the hall and toward the front door, but Sasquatch paid no attention to it as he fled. The Krautheimers themselves had gathered in the living room, and they were indeed armed. Each had a gun for self-defense, although all of them were still in their pajamas, making them look like the world's most casual commandos. Thankfully, they recognized that Sasquatch was running in fear rather than attacking, so no one opened fire on him. Instead, they all scrambled out of the bear's way, clambering over the furniture. Sasquatch charged past them, knocking the armchairs and couches aside, sending them skidding across the floor like hockey pucks. He went right back out through the open front door and then kept on going. I had followed him through the house. In theory, I should have been running away from a bear rather than toward it, but Sasquatch seemed to have other things on his mind than me. By the time I reached the front door, he had already disappeared into the night. Summer joined me at the door, having come along the outside of the house from where she had dropped out the window of her room.
Are you okay? I asked her.
Yes. Freaked out, but okay.
She slipped her hand into mine and held it tightly. I turned back to the Krautheimers, who were surveying the wreckage of their living room furniture. It looked as though a steamroller had come through.
Do you have a fire extinguisher? I asked.
The same look crossed each of their faces at once, a fear that somehow this evening was about to get even worse. Evan sprang into action. An extinguisher was mounted on the wall by the fireplace. He snapped it out of its bracket and asked,
"Where's the fire?"
"The McCracken's bedroom," I reported. "The pronghorn's on fire."
"The pronghorn?" Heidi echoed. "How?"
"Long story," I said. Evan was already racing down the hallway. We all followed him. We arrived in the McCracken's room to find Mom, Dad, and JJ fighting the fire, throwing wet towels over the blazing pronghorn. Evan dealt it the final blow, dousing the flames with the extinguisher. Although, in his haste, he also doused my parents, JJ, and much of the room with foam as well. But the fire was out. The pronghorn was no longer burning. Instead, with its blackened face and coating of white foam, it now looked like a majestically posed sheep. The stench of its burned hair, combined with the musky smell of Sasquatch, was overwhelming. The makeshift firefighting squad looked rather ridiculous as well. JJ was still only in his boxer shorts, with a shallow wound in his shoulder where he'd been struck by the arrow. Evan wore pajamas decorated with beavers and had a rifle slung over his shoulder, and his nose was still swollen from summer's punch. Both of them and my parents were dripping with foam. Then Candace started screaming again. It startled everyone. In all the excitement, I had forgotten she was even in the room, and I think that my parents had too. She was still in the bed and had emerged from under her covers. My immediate thought, given the hysterical pitch of her shrieks, was that somehow Sasquatch had returned. "What is it?" JJ asked worriedly, sounding very much on edge himself. "What's wrong?"
"My necklace," Candace explained, pointing to the wreckage of the table in the center of the room. "It's gone."